How are your New Year's resolutions coming along? If you're like me and most other people, any resolutions that you made at the end of December and felt very committed to and confident about in the first few days of January, they have all probably now gone by the wayside. Indeed, one recent study from the fitness app Strava found that for most people, the second Friday in January is when New Year's resolutions begin to crumble. At the beginning of January, gyms are usually quite crowded as people attempt to make good on their resolutions to exercise more. Similarly, people join weight loss programs or start new diets at the beginning of the year, fully intending to follow through all year long. But often they falter after just a few weeks. Chips and cookies soon replace chickpeas and kale. Others use the beginning of the year to quit smoking or drinking, but it seems that once the pressures, stresses, and situations that led to these behaviors become overwhelming, they revert to past behaviors. If you've ever made a resolution to make a big or even a small change, you know the frustration of not being able to follow through with it, and the dismay of how quickly such resolutions can be tossed aside. From a Christian perspective, the consistent inability of people to stick to their resolutions should not be surprising, given our sinful nature, but it can be useful for reflecting on our lives as Christians. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, verse 19 and 22, "For the good that I will to do, I do not, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let us also thank God as we consider our theme, God's perfect solution to humankind's ineffective resolutions. It's definitely disappointing to us when we're unable to keep our New Year's resolutions. But when we look at our lives in comparison to God's perfect and holy law, the few resolutions we break every year pale in comparison to our constant breaking of God's law, both by doing the very things that we should not do and by not doing the things we ought to do. Every morning we may wake up and resolve to be better Christians, but the outcome is always the same. We have hateful thoughts towards others, and sometimes even express these thoughts. We gossip, we make fun of people, we easily believe and make the most of or enjoy believing the worst about other people. We fail to treat others with love and kindness, to put the best construction on things. Rather than quashing rumors, we spread them. We resent and chafe at authority, whether it be our teachers, our parents, our bosses, or our government, and we also consistently fail to honor them. We could and we should go through all the commandments and see not only how we sin daily, but even minute by minute. In fact, we can't even make it past the first commandment, since we fail miserably in putting God first in our lives. We can think of so many times throughout the day that we choose to put our own desires before our love for God, or succumb to our own fears rather than trusting in Him. Rather than studying and following His word, we rely on our faulty reason and our desire, or sinful desires, to guide our actions throughout the day. And the consequences for failing to keep God's law are, of course, much more dire than our breaking of our New Year's resolutions. Sin brings separation from God and death. As we read in Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." Ezekiel 18:20 also clearly states, "The soul who sins shall die." Since Paul, like us, constantly struggled with his sinful flesh, we can see exactly why he exclaimed, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" On our own, we are wretched sinners who only deserve eternal death. There's all sorts of tips and tricks for breaking unhealthy habits and for forming new behaviors. For example, some people find accountability works for them. If they share their goals with others, they may stick to them better. Others may find that changing behaviors gradually and rewarding that behavior immediately helps move them towards their goal. In fact, the self-help section of bookstores are filled with volumes offering advice on how to be a better person, how to keep those resolutions, how to close that gap between what we intend to do and what we actually end up doing. There's plenty of books on this subject, though, precisely because nobody has found the perfect solution. And the reason they haven't found the perfect solution is because they are focused on what humans can do, rather than what God has already done for us. In the verses prior to our text, Paul lays out our utter incapability of bettering ourselves on our own because of our sinful flesh. He writes, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." Rather than giving up, though, when Paul exclaims, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" he immediately provides the answer. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." God provided his sinless Son who kept the law for us, who suffered for us, who died for us, and rose again. In chapter 6 of Romans, Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death." Yet he also adds, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In the next chapter, chapter 8 of Romans, Paul provides the wonderful assurance of the gospel, which provides the perfect solution to our sin. We read, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." God has provided the solution so that we can live according to the Spirit. Again, this is nothing that we could do on our own, but God has done it for us. The Holy Spirit creates faith in us that brings forth fruits of faith so that we live according to the Spirit. When we are oppressed by our sins and our failures to live according to God's will, we can be comforted that we have been justified. Through Christ's righteousness, we have been declared innocent in God's eyes. Our broken resolutions, our inability to keep God's law, have been taken care of through the perfect solution provided by God himself in sending his Son to be our Savior. We'll close with the singing of hymn 380, verses 1 and 5. Hymn 380, verses 1 and 5.